It's like, don't go all week and not worship God. Get some music. Get some music where at home you are listening and you are worshiping God in your house by yourself. Man. As a little girl, I can remember going places in the car with my mom. And it would be a really pretty day or something. She'd say, wow, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I praise God for my mama. She was solid. She loved the word of God. Religion is cruel. I've seen what religion can do to somebody who's on fire for God. I've seen it firsthand, what religion can do. The rules, the regulations. You're not the right color. You're not the right gender. You're not this. You're not that. You're not. But you're, and yet you're a child of the King, of the Most High God. God raises up whom He chooses. Who are we to decide those things? But I've seen religion whittle away at somebody who at some point in their life was so on fire for God. And every morning of my life, I would wake up to her in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Before she went to work. What do our families wake up to? What do our families wake up to? What's going on at the house? What's going on in your car? You know, I've seen a lot of people come to church and they worship and they sing the songs and they get in their car and they're listening to everything that's contrary to everything they just were listening to at church that blesses God. There's something messed up with that. Is that just me or does that feel kind of messed up? It's kind of like, so which one are you? So what are you really? Because what you are out there, that's really who you are. It's easy to be all lovey-dovey in here. But when you get out there, what is it then? What kind of music is in your car then? Some people say Christians are intolerant. I sure hope so. I certainly hope so. What I tolerate in my own space, I don't try to control somebody else's space. It's not my job. But brother, I will mine. I will mine. As much as lieth in me, I will control my space. What's up in my space? What's up in my face? What am I watching on TV? What am I listening to? Does it edify? Does it build up? Does it help? Does it agree with God? If the stuff you're listening to doesn't agree with God, there's something messed up. The Bible said, let not a double-minded man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. This is why a lot of people think, well, I don't know. I prayed and prayed about this. But are you single-minded or are you double-minded? The Bible says you cannot receive if you're double-minded. But if you can move even just a little bit, Jesus is so sweet. Jesus is so sweet. You don't have to be perfect. He knows better than that. That's why He came. But He's so sweet. Even if you're kind of walking it and it's kind of a tightrope and you're struggling, man, just move ever just a little bit. And you will feel such support come up in you from Him to help you stand. But having done all, then stand. Once you make your stand, don't back off of your stand. Don't do it. That other person's going to go on and live their life however they want to, but it'll mess yours up. If you don't stand, it'll mess you up. It will affect other people, but it will certainly mess you up because you did not stand when you had a chance to stand. He stood for us. Oh my. Oh, how He stood for us. He took the blows for us. He stood and stood. While they smacked Him, hurt Him, beat Him, ripped His flesh open, nailed Him to wood, spit in His face, jeered at Him, laughed at Him. No, He stood. If we're having a hard time standing, now, with your peers, with your coworkers, with your friends, how are we going to ever make it? If you're so afraid of what somebody might say. Not that they necessarily even would. You're assuming that they will. But even if they did, will your world fall apart? If so, then where was your confidence to begin with? See, we can think we're trusting God, but when your world is falling apart, where do you turn? Because if you're trying to prevent your world from falling apart, it may need to fall apart. The world I had needed to fall apart. It needed to. It needed to be blown up. It needed to be nuked and fried. So sometimes we're trying to protect something that needs to go. It needs to go. It's in your way. It's in your thought process. It's messing you up. It's keeping you double-minded on your job, at work, at home. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. He is worthy to be praised. The song's right. And whatever it costs us to do it, it'll just cost us to do it. In your family, with other people who know you well. You know, that's the hardest place of all. Have y'all noticed that? It's the hardest place. There's such familiarity. Are people who knew you way back when? So they can't see how you are now. Because in their head, you're still 7 years old, or 10, or 12, or 14, or whatever it was. Or maybe even last year. I don't know. But it says we go from glory to glory. That when you come in, I don't care when you come in, I don't care what your past was, Jesus sees you as perfect from that moment on. Wow. So whether other people see you as perfect or not, really, you got to get to where you don't care. I'm working on don't care. You know why it comes up so much? I don't care. You have to get past that somehow about what they're going to say or what they're going to think or whatever. Jesus never would have made it if he had thought this way. Paul, everybody who's ever served God. Corrie Ten Boom wouldn't have made it. She wouldn't have made it. But came out of the Nazi concentration camps in World War II and evangelized all over the world. In her 80s, she was still going. Praise God. I'm going to try to finish up something in Philippians. We'll see how that works, is all I know to say. God, I thank you for your word's life. I thank you that you don't really separate yourself from what you say. That what you say is who you are. And if we know what you're saying, we can know who you are and we can know exactly what you're like. We can know exactly what you're like because your word declares the truth about you. And your word also declares the truth about us. And I give you praise for that assurance. As we look into your word today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So how are y'all doing this morning? Okay, well, that's okay. On a scale from 1 to 10, that looks like maybe a 1.5 so far. I'm good. Okay. Well, I was in Philippians last time, so I'm still in Philippians for all the reasons y'all already know. So what I'm going to do is go to verse 17. The Philippian church is an interesting church. I love this. Paul had so many things to say to them, and yet there was such a heartwarming feeling that he had about this church, Philippian church. You know, Paul often had to lay down the law, so to speak. And some churches he went to because they had been corrupted. They had drifted away from the Lord and stuff. So it's always refreshing when he comes in and he finds a lot of things he really does like that are pleasing the Lord and things that he can say about them. I'm going to go on down to verse 17. Y'all can listen to what I said last week. It should be on the internet. But in verse 17 in this book of Philippians, he goes, let me see where I'm exactly. Oh, yeah. He says he knew that he was appointed for the defense of the gospel. He understood that part of why he was doing what he was doing is that he was appointed to the defense of the gospel. This was part of Paul's life. This is what he was called to do. Philippians chapter 1, verse 17. Yeah. Okay. It's okay. So what I'm here to tell you today, your motives matter. See, he understood his motive. He understood why he was there, what he was supposed to be doing while he was there, and he understood that what he was doing really mattered. And his motives, our motives matter. You need to know, why are you doing what it is you're doing? Because if you don't believe in it, then why are you doing it? And who is it supposed to be pleasing if it's not helping you? Our motives matter. I'm going to tell you something. When God gives you a task to do, whatever it is, some people do it because of how something looks, or it might look a certain way. God knows the motives of our heart. He knows your real motive. He knows why you're doing what you're doing. And I think it's important sometimes for us to check ourselves and say, do we know why we're doing what we're doing? And who are we doing this for? Is there something behind that that we're doing? Are we looking for something? Are we looking for some praise for what we do? You may look a long, long time before that happens. And will it ever be enough praise for you? At what point is it enough? We have to check our motives in serving God. Is it just some rote response that we're having? Do we believe what God has told us to do? Do we believe it's worth our time, really? Because if you don't really believe it, you're not going to stay with it. You're not going to do something you don't really believe. You may do it for a while. And I think that's why sometimes people come into a setting where there's friendly people. And a lot of people say, well, I need to do something with my life. But there's no direction, see? There's no direction. God will give you direction. His word gives you direction. People go to counseling. They go to all kinds of things all the time. And I'm not saying that's evil. I'm saying, but that is only a support to the word of God. If you're a Christian, and if things don't line up with the word of God, we're in trouble. And you have to know what part of the Bible you're looking at. The way God dealt with people in Noah's day is not the way he deals with us after Jesus went to the cross. It's a completely different covenant. And I've said this before. God is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of covenant. He looks at the covenant that he has with you. And that's what he goes by. Do y'all understand that? Noah wasn't under. Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet when Noah and the flood happened, all that. And yet, he said, out of everybody on the whole face of the earth, all he could find was one man who understood the concept of righteousness. And yet, after the flood, he got drunk. I mean, we see things happening with people from time to time, that they're not perfect people. But also, there weren't guidelines for that. Jesus had not come yet. He had not come to show us how to live the way God wanted us to live. If you don't know how you're supposed to live, you're going to do what the world tells you to do, because that's all that's left. And it's because this need to fit in. That's why I say, check out the crowd first before you decide if you want to try to fit in there. I'm serious. If you're trying to fit in with the world, you will not fit in with Jesus. And you can pray and pray and pray all you want to. But he's waiting for you to do what you know you should be doing in the first place. And you may need to take a stand. You know, once you start standing, it's not as hard. All I can tell you is once you just set your hand to the plow, the Bible says, don't look back. Once you set your hand to go ahead and just furrow. Go ahead and do it. Just let it just dig. Yep. He said, what then, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. There's some people, there was always opposition to the church. Paul said, it doesn't matter to me if they believe or don't believe. I have committed, I'm going to preach this word. He said, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That is huge. Those two things, and I think I just tapped that last time. Did you know that through the Holy Spirit, you have a supply that the average person doesn't have. You have something not everybody has. God wishes they did. He wants them to. But you can tap in to a supply that comes by the Holy Spirit. It is supernatural, by the way. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. So when you're operating in the supernatural, that's the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say this too. If you're not praying in tongues and you're a born again person, you need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to be in the presence of people who pray in the Holy Spirit. Of course, you can't do that all the time. I know that. We go out in the world. But I'm saying who understand where iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. And so when you're struggling with something, you have got to be somewhere where the Holy Spirit is revered, because he was the one sent to help you, the Bible says. He is your helper. I'm amazed how many people don't acknowledge the helper. They preach about Jesus, they preach about salvation, but then they live their life like most of that is not true. And it's just religious. It's religious stuff. And then those can change depending on your culture, right? The Holy Spirit has never changed. The Holy Spirit is God eternal. So the Holy Spirit is consistent. God is the most consistent one you will ever know. He's more consistent than we are. He's more consistent. I mean, God is the only one who is always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Everybody else changes. People get older. Their ideas change. Their seasons of life change. There's all kinds of things. But he says he changes not. But you've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And you cannot understand the Word of God apart from the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says he, the Holy Spirit, the helper, will guide you into all truth. You don't really come to a conclusion that's truth apart from the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. Your culture's not going to help you do this. Your culture doesn't know. They keep changing their mind about all kinds of things. So if you're going with the culture or the latest news report or the latest thing across the media, you're in trouble. You're in big, big trouble when it comes to the Lord. Because his Bible, he says he changes not. He doesn't change. God's not going to change his mind depending on if we like it or not. Gosh. I remember when I was growing up, they may have been there, but they weren't very verbal. Friends that just didn't believe there was a God. It's kind of like everybody believed there was a God. There was a God, you know, maybe not on the same page where I was coming from as a child. But I can remember talking to God as a little girl. Like I would lose something I couldn't find, and I said, oh, please help me find that. And he would. He'd show me right where something was as a little girl, as a little six-year-old. I remember doing it, 6, 7 years old. I didn't know what I'd done with my homework. I didn't know what I'd done. I forgot where I put it. You know, I couldn't find it. I didn't want to get in trouble. I said, oh, please help me find it. I don't remember where I put it. And all of a sudden, I would think of a place. And I thought, why did I put that there? It was a place I'd never put stuff before. Have y'all ever had that experience? You can't find your car keys. And I do stuff, whatever. Well, y'all are pitiful. I cry out to God for help all the time. If you're not doing that, I feel sorry for you. Because you know what? He'll show you. He'll also show you things to come. He will show you things that are going to happen later that day. Or you'll have a sense of, be ready, be ready, be ready. You're going to get a phone call. And he'll tell you stuff up front. This is how Jesus lived his life. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only do and say what I hear him say or what he shows me to do. That's all I do. Did you know we're supposed to live that same way? We're supposed to be living that way. To aspire to live anything different is to be looking way below the bar. He knows you have a job. He gave it to you. He gave you your job. He knows we have a living to make. I mean, he understands those things. He knows electric bills. I mean, he understands all that. But what I'm saying is he wants to show you more than what you're seeing. But I've always told people, give God something to work with. Give him, don't just say, okay, So you're going saying, okay, God, let's see what you got. It comes from a sincerity, a sincere heart. Because you say, God, I've only got one life here. I really want to get this right. I really do. I've only got one shot at this. And then I'll die and I will stand before you. The Holy Spirit will supply everything you need to do every single thing God tells you to do. You don't have to start worrying and fretting. You don't have to come up with some Ponzi scheme of how you're going to accomplish something. God, through His Spirit, will supply what you need. If that's all you took away all day long, it would have been worth the drive, if you can get that down in you. But you need to tap in to what He's saying to you. And what I've noticed is the Holy Spirit never screams. God's never screamed at me. He doesn't scream at me. Sometimes I will feel an urgency about something, but He's not screaming at me. The Bible says it's a still small voice. He won't compete with your TV. He won't compete with all your activities where your day is so full you just don't have time. He won't compete with that. He's God. He's not in a competition. He's God. So if you in your day won't make room for Him to talk to you, then why are we surprised when we don't ever hear Him say or give us direction, right? But He sure wants to. You know why? Because He loves you. Did you know no matter what you would do your entire life, God will love you no matter what you do? He'll love you your whole life, whether you either choose to really serve Him or not. And He'll be waiting, He'll be hoping that you'll choose Him. Because the life that He has for you is so much better than anything you're ever going to come up with on your best day. He's the God of more than enough, the Bible says. So when Paul is talking in this church, he's talking about there's a supply you can tap into. There's a supply. Man, please don't forget that. And it says, and prayer, and your prayer. So there's this combination of us praying and absolutely being able to tap in to the supply. Do y'all see that in that verse? Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul was at the place where, okay, I might die this time. I don't know. Either way, Christ is glorified. Wow. Do you see how differently Paul saw situations? I don't see him getting freaked out about it. He absolutely understood he was appointed to that. He was appointed to that amount of suffering. Why? Because persecution, you're not delivered from persecution. You're delivered from sin. You're delivered from sickness. You're delivered of the power of the devil over your own choices and what you choose to do. You are not delivered from persecution because that would violate other people's will. Y'all understand that? God will not violate your will, even if you choose to do evil. He won't violate your will to choose that. I know when I was growing up in several different denominational churches, it was always this thing of, if anything bad happened, well, it must have been God's will. And just this resignation to that. That's not true. That's actually a lie. It is one of the worst lies that ever came to the church because it's this passive resignation to something evil happening and that somehow we have no control. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. And Jesus demonstrated that in His ministry. He demonstrated that's not true. He said, well, I was born this way. I guess God just did this and made me this way. That's not true. Why? Because He's the giver of life. Now, who is the person who does that to babies and people? the devil. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And this is also why he healed absolutely every person who came to him for healing. He healed them. Period. Now, if it's not always God's will to heal, then Jesus really misrepresented God. I'm telling you, there's doctrines out there that we grew up with. I'm telling you straight up, they're not true. There's not one scripture to back that up. But there's tons, reams of scripture, the whole ministry of Jesus, to prove what I just said is the truth. And if you're a born-again person, you have a right to live in victory over the devil. It doesn't mean you're not going to have things to go through. Well, go on through them and come out in victory. Yeah, but it's been 4 years, 5 years. Well, okay, well, that you can't do anything about that. We'll just keep going. But at some point, come out in victory is what I'm saying. Come out in victory. You know, it takes God a long time to deal with our heart and all the stuff that's been put in your heart. It takes God a long time. It's not so much God takes a long time, but it takes a long time for things to get through to our noggin. Because we're so programmed to believe everything that's announced on TV. Did you know Jesus said that you, some people said, well, if I could see miracles, then I'd believe. Did you know that's also not true? Jesus did miracles right in front of the Pharisees and the whole Jewish nation over and over and over. Guess who didn't believe in him? All those people. And they saw more, they saw tons of miracles. They were there. They were there. They were there to accuse him. They were right in the crowds. They saw what he did. They saw him lay hands on people. And some people say, well, if I could see, then I would believe. I'm telling you, that's not true. People will say that. They're lying. That's a lying thought. A lying spirit has told them that. Well, if I could see that, then I could believe. You wouldn't. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You don't get faith by seeing somebody else have a miracle. It gives you hope for faith. But faith only comes through the word of God. You have to read it and read it and read it and read it. The Bible says, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost, that's another reason, a way that you can build up your faith to believe something that seems so impossible to you. You may be in debt up to your eyeballs and say, good grief, I wish I could unload this debt. Talk to God. Talk to God. Get in the Word of God. What does he have to say about how to handle finances? I'm amazed how many people have finances and have never ever read the Bible about what God has to say about finances. And they have all these financial problems. And a lot of times it can be a real contention in marriages, relationships, when finances get all messed up. But they're making these decisions, haven't prayed about all the stuff they decided to buy and do. They wanted to do it for some other reason. And God was never even consulted. Mercy, it feels like a morgue in here, so quiet. We're not dead, we're very much alive. But the word of God is wanting to penetrate our hearts so that we actually change. So that we actually change. What a novel idea, right? The word of God is here so that we can change. The truth you know is what makes you free, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You cannot get free apart from truth. And what I'm trying to tell you is truth. So that you can get free of stuff maybe you've had your whole life. And at what point do you say, I'm not carrying this anymore. I'm not thinking this way anymore. At what point do you make a decision and say, I'm going to get in this book, and I know God's going to talk to me, and I'm going to read it and 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 read it. Why? Because there's hard ground here. You know, if you've ever tried to pull weeds or something, There's like, and it's hard clay. We got that Louisiana clay. Oh my gosh. And you're trying to pull that mess up and it just doesn't want to budge, right? Well, sometimes if it gets wet enough, if it gets enough rain, enough moisture, it helps. It helps. The word of God is like that for you. You're trying to make decisions. You want your life to change. You want to think different thoughts. You want to be delivered. You may have addictions, and you just, for the life of you, just can't get free. You just can't get free. You want to. You know it's wrong. You've had that conviction in it. And we've all had things we've been convicted about. I mean, we've all gone astray, okay? We've all had things where it's like, this. I know this isn't God, but for the life of me, I've been doing this so long. And it becomes part of your psyche. Addictions are something that gets in your head. It becomes part of how you, your whole psyche. It takes the Word of God to break an addiction. You'll have to be in the Word. You'll have to get to where you would rather have the approval of Jesus and be with Him and know that His Spirit is alive and working in you than anything else. And then all of a sudden, so a few years go by and you go, you know what? I don't even think about that stuff anymore. You don't have those thoughts anymore. You don't feel that way anymore. You don't think that way anymore. That's called change. Did you know it is, when you read the Word of God, it's almost like it's effortless. Your job is just to keep reading it. The Word of God begins to change you because you're feeding your spirit something it can work with. I just told you something that a lot of people have wondered and wondered and wondered. You mean I can just sit and read this over and over and over and over? Yes. And I'll change. Yes. Yes. You know why? Because you're hearing God talk to you over and over and over and over. And you're spending enough time with God that you're actually developing a relationship with Him so that you can change. Because at some point you actually love Him more than you love the stuff that's messing your life up. And you begin to choose Him. And as you begin to choose Him, you're fortified. And now it's not so hard to do anymore. And when do you look back and go, I can't believe I used to be like that. I can't believe I used to think that way or say some of the stuff I used to say or do some of the things I used to do. You'll be looking back. If there's nothing you can look back at that's changed, you're missing it. You're missing the whole point of being a Christian. It wasn't just so you can stand before God one day and be clean. It's so you can live the life He had for you here, which is far superior. It's supernatural. See, God wants us living a supernatural life where people say, how does that work? And for the life of you, you can't tell them exactly how all that worked. It's something God worked out. And it just started coming together. Why? Because He's the Creator. He can do stuff. He can get you where you're supposed to be. I see people, they're always trying to climb a ladder, do this, do that. And it's kind of like, get your head in the Word of God. The Word of God will get you there. The Word of God will teach you how to handle money, how to manage your stuff, how to manage your temper, whatever it is. The Word of God will get in there and begin to work in you. And it's almost like it's just happening. Because you just keep hanging out with God. So it's almost like it's just going in and going, and you begin to change and change. And you're not like browbeating yourself every day, well, I've just got to do this. You're just reading the Word. You're taking it in. You're just taking it in. And all of a sudden, the thing that used to make you feel so condemned doesn't make you feel condemned anymore either. And if you make a mistake or something, you don't feel condemned then either. Because He hates for you to feel that way. But the Word told you that, and you know it, and you want to please Him, so you quit doing that too. You just get back on track. The supply of the Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know I say this a lot. There's a reason. I remember what my life was before I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I've seen other people the same thing. But I've seen other people who didn't go on to pray in tongues very much either. Because, you know, in this world, apart from the Holy Spirit, I mean, you can be a real nut. You really can't just be a nutcase. You're just out there doing whatever, and it makes no sense, and it's just tearing your life up and other people's lives over and over and over. It's not like you're trying to do that. It's just who you are. Because your thoughts are so messed up and so not like God, you can't get a God result. But, man, when you start just ingesting, because you've ingested so much of the world. See, you're worldly because you keep hanging out with the world. Their music is what you're humming to. Their movies are what you're watching all the time. You're watching people commit adultery. You're watching all kinds of relationships that are ungodly, and you're wondering, why am I having trouble with lust? Duh. I mean, it's a no-brainer. I know I shouldn't be cussing, but you listen to people cuss all the time on your TV set. You've got a thing in your house that is so in opposition to God, running all the time those types of channels. You don't have to listen to that. There's other stuff you can listen to that will build you up, edify you, and help you walk in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. So no matter what you do or how much money you give, if we are never walking in faith, we are also never pleasing God. That was heavy, wasn't it? But it's the truth. The Bible, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Don't shoot the messenger. Look at this. Some of the things Paul says are pretty outrageous in our culture today. They say, well, who can do that? But people are doing it all over the world. They are doing it. He said, for me to live is Christ. Verse 21, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Don't you love this? He's talking about a discourse he's been having within himself in his own mind. He said, but if for me, everywhere I go, they're going to beat me. They're going to beat me. And I don't mean they just slept. I mean, they took rods. They had metal rods, and they would hang them up, and they would beat the back of their thighs and stuff and feet until they broke bones. This happened to Paul, I don't know how many times. Beaten with rods. Also beaten with whips. In other words, something that just lashed his back and laid his back open. And those whips literally would lay your back open. Open wounds. And a lot of these things, and then he would be released and he would walk 15 or 20 miles to the next little town. And you know what? When he got there, he would go through the same thing again and again and again and again. Who would do that? He had persecuted the church, remember? Paul had a lot of Christians killed before he was saved. And on the road to Damascus, he had an encounter that changed him forever. Have you really been changed? He knew what he had done all of a sudden. He realized, oh, my word. I had all those Christians taken from their homes, hearing their children screaming and crying. I did that. And you say, well, how did he ever get over that? How do you get over a level of guilt like that? I am crucified with Christ, yet not I. He decided that he would die to himself from that day on. Do we understand that's really what Christianity is? It's the death of you so that someone greater than you can live through you. I don't think people understand what they're signing up for. They say, well, I just don't want to go to hell or something. He said, but the life that I now live is Christ. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He just moved over. It's almost like he stepped out of this body somehow in his own mind. You know, like that body is dead. That way of life is dead. The way I used to think is dead. I have crucified it. He said, I did. I crucified it. It needed to go. It was rotten. It was selfish. It was evil. It was self-serving. It needed to die. And then Christ could come and live through him. And boy, did Christ live through that man. And God may not have you do what Paul did. Not everybody was called to do what Paul was called to do. But see, he had been a very determined warrior for the Jewish nation, persecuting the Christians. So all that determination and the influence he had when he became a Christian, he still was a person of influence, and he still was a very determined man. All except now he was on God's team. Y'all understand? And that Because many of you have these giftings, you have these natural talents and abilities God put in you. But if you use them for the world, then the world benefits. If you use them for God, the kingdom of God grows. All your natural giftings, everything that ever came to you, whether it's music, talent, ability, the way you think, the way you process, speaking skills, acting skills, whatever it is, God will use then in his kingdom so that people can hear about Jesus. And we can be used for the glory of God. He didn't see himself ever having a life at all apart from Jesus from that day forward. And he went on to say, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in my flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor." In other words, I'm going to continue to labor for the Lord. Y'all stand up, please. God, I thank you your word brings life to us. And that in this really crazy, chaotic world, we can be solid. When everybody else is caught up in the frenzies of the latest news, the latest report, the latest COVID, whatever, that we can be solid in our faith in the Lord Jesus. And I encourage you today, die to yourself. He said, "For me to live is Christ." Like, it's the real life. See, your real life is in Jesus, the one who spoke to the wind and the waves. Do you know God gave us authority to do the same things? A lot of people don't know that. He lived by the power of the helper while he was here. He lived as a man empowered by God. He was fully man and fully God. Yep. He had to be a man. He had to be human. Because God had given human beings dominion over the earth. So the only one who could undo what they had decided to do would be someone who would be sinless. Someone who would not fall for Satan's lies and temptations. Because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every human had ever, everybody had always sinned. I think God wanted Jesus to come and everything to happen a lot sooner. He couldn't find anybody he could flow through who would just yield. Nobody wants to be different. They don't want to be the outcast at school. Nobody wants to be the one that's overlooked. And what I see over and over is you have to be the one who's willing. You have to be the one who's willing. But God will not overlook you. And God can promote you in your job. God can promote you. He can get you places where you meet people you never dreamed you would meet. And all you did was surrender your life to him. If you have not done that today, I sure wish you would. Because God loves you. The price paid for our life is huge. It really is. I mean, the half has not been told what Jesus actually suffered. I mean, he had brothers and sisters, and he was so weird compared to them. You know, he was the strange child. And they had a lot of rejection in his family. So it's not like he doesn't understand those things. He knew one day they would understand. But you know, when you're 11, that's really hard. When you're 14, it's really hard. It's really hard when you're a teenager and not one person in your whole house that everybody thinks you're a little bit daft. Mama, he thinks he's God. We got to do something about him. I mean, my friends are talking about him. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer them about Jesus. I mean, he's a nice guy and everything, but Mom, do you hear the stuff he says? Do you hear what he's saying, though? I'm surprised lightning didn't strike him. Can't you just hear this in this family, the family dynamics of this? Man. And yet he wasn't allowed to really manifest anything till he was like 30-something years old. You know? And I know Mary had a promise about who he was, but she's looking at him going, so when is this supposed to happen? Where is the Shazam? Where is the poof we're in? You know, because everybody has a different idea about who you're supposed to be as a God child, but they're not God to you. So don't let other people define who you are supposed to be in God's plan. But the first thing is you got to know him. To know him and make him known, that's our assignment. A lot of people are trying to make him known and they don't know him. Not really know him. Get to know the God that you say you serve. The only way you're going to have faith to believe for stuff is this word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the only way. If you're trying to substitute something else, it won't work. I can preach to you. I can encourage you to do it. But I can't do that for you. You each have your own relationship with the Lord. But I'm telling you straight up, it's in the book. You just read it and keep reading. You don't have to understand everything you read. It's not a requirement. Read it again next year. The next year, read it again. Read your Bible every year. Just start reading every year. And it'll take a lot of discipline to do it. You can read it in less than a year if you want to. And you can read even more. You can read it twice a year. I just know you read it and read it, and all of a sudden, there's stuff that'll be in the click called, well, no wonder I never understood that about the Ten Commandments, why that was in there. But now I understand. You just think that it will help you connect the dots. Connect the dots between these different covenants and why God did the things he did. He is just and he is fair. He is fair. God is fair. A lot of people think God's not fair. They haven't read the book. They don't understand what they're talking about. They don't know how to connect the dots. God, I thank you for your words of life this morning to us. And I thank you, God, that we are determined to know you in a more intimate way. And that we'll be real Christians. I mean, the real deal. Like when people are around us for any length of time or they're trying to do business with us, the way we handle, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we look at things is different. And that we're not judgmental of where anybody is in their walk. That's not our job. Our job is to be light. Our job is to be the light in the midst of darkness. We are light. Help us, God, be that light in our world, even this very day. And if you don't know Jesus today, invite him into your heart. Oh, that sounds so trite. People have heard that so long. What I'm saying is lay yourself down so he can stand up. Quit trying to be somebody. Learn about the one who is somebody and talk about him. And he'll promote you when he thinks you can handle it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love y'all. Stephen, you got a word for this morning? I'm going to have to say this every once in a while. Come on, you're going to be up here. This is a man in our church, Stephen. And by God's design and choice, he tells him stuff. Almost every Sunday, with very few exceptions, I'll preach a sermon. He has no idea what I'm going to preach. A lot of it, I don't know until I'm up here. I have tons of notes. I got this far. That was it. That's how far I got. Yeah. So you see my dilemma. But anyway, I want to be led by the Spirit of God and about the truth of his word. So he doesn't know what I'm going to preach. Nobody knows what I'm going to preach. And then he'll get up and he'll make point after point after point something that was said in my sermon. That's called a sign and wonder. I believe God wants to increase signs and wonders in this church. I really do. I think our lives even should be a sign and wonder. You're on your way. Mackie's a sign and wonder to me for already. Yeah. You know, signs and wonders, it's exactly that. It's a sign of something that you're really wondering about now. It makes you wonder, God, how did that happen? And make you ask questions of someone, right? How do y'all survive? That's a big place. How do y'all do that? Financially, how do y'all? We're a sign and wonder. This whole church is a sign and wonder. Where'd y'all get all those chairs? It's a sign and wonder. I mean, just over and over and over. I could just, maybe I will. And I said I could write books. Maybe one day I will write a book about it. But I believe God wants more signs and wonders. I believe we need more miracles, more healings. I praise God for Brother George's healing that he had, but that leg he had for like, what, 6 years or whatever. And one day he got up and all the swelling was gone. It was totally just gone. He just stood and kept believing God. And he just woke up and it had happened. Surprise! God wants to surprise us with his goodness. But sometimes you'll have to stand in belief for some things for a long time. And you know, if you can't stand in belief for a few months, God's got to put longevity in us. Oh, I went to preaching again. Okay, so, Steve's going to deliver the word.
Listen to what I have to say. I want you to know who I am, and I want you to know who you are in me. I want you to know how to live a victorious life. I have placed you here to learn. Be a good student. Apply yourself to the word.
So that's the Reader's Digest condensed version. I love y'all very much. Thank you, God, for everything you've done in this place today. I thank you, God, that you just ignite our hearts for you, that we're on fire for you, God. Man, I want to be so hot when somebody touched me. There's a sizzle. There's a sound of a sizzle somewhere. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't want to be a lukewarm anything. I'm not good at being lukewarm anything. I don't like it. I despise it. I think God is trying to get some people who will just take his gospel and begin to run with it. And it's kind of like be able to take the heat, you know. You got to be able to take the heat from your peers and stuff. Where everybody doesn't have to like you for you to be okay. It's easier said than done, especially your family. But that's where you're really tested. Can you serve Jesus when your whole family thinks you're a Fruit Loop? Kind of like Jesus' family did with him. Can we do that? When they think you're just, that's a little extreme. Dying on a cross to me is extreme. Coming here for that purpose, that's pretty extreme. Loving us the way he does with such extreme love. Jesus is an extremist. No, it'll be extreme. Extreme or nothing. In or out. Amen. Thank you, God, that we have boldness and yet we're gentle. When we're dealing with people, we are gentle. We are gentle about their hurts. We're gentle about the things that have wounded them. But we're fierce to come against the mess that would want to take them out. In Jesus' name, amen.